There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
We are back here on Midday Mobile. This is Yaffe filling in for Sean Sullivan. Sean should be back tomorrow. I'll probably find out later today if I get a random text from him saying, hey, can you fill in for me again? And of course I would. You know, obviously I'll do that. But this is Yaffe filling in for Sean. If you want to find out more about me, you can follow me on Twitter at Yaffe. Yaffe being my last name, Y-A-F-F-E-E. You probably know me already because I filled in for Sean before. I do the Yaffe program 9 to 11 a.m. on WVNN in Huntsville. And before the break, Dalton and I, Dalton is producing today in the studio, of course. We were talking about the halftime show at the Super Bowl. And we're just going over what we think. And I'm just the only person in my friend's feed, I guess, on Facebook, who could have cared less about that halftime show. I understand it's from my generation. I understand that it was the cool thing. And there's a lot of nostalgia involved and all that. And people like hip hop. I don't understand why we can't get a good... There's so much great music out there, especially now with like Spotify and YouTube Music or whatever you use. To find great rock music, great music. There's so much out there. And every time I watch a halftime show, I'm just like, what most people listen to is so, it's so terrible. It was also kind of funny to see these former young gangster rappers, rebels against the system, now be old men who are fabulously wealthy and who live in their leftist, liberal, cushy bubbles now, still rapping about how they're rebels. I mean, no, does anyone really believe that they're the true rebels anymore in society? They're not. Dr. Dre is not the true rebel. Snoop Dogg is practically a corporate spokesman, as Richard said, as Dalton said in the last half hour. I mean, he's practically a corporate spokesman now. I mean, he used to be against the man. Now he practically is one. If anyone is a true rebel, it's someone like me, it's someone like you listening. In today's culture, in today's world, we're the true rebels. I mean, that's just the honest truth. But what's really hilarious to me about all of this, other than the fact that people just don't know good music, there's so much good music out there. I posted on Facebook that you give me Five Finger Death Punch and Alter Bridge or something, and we talked about a Foo Fighters maybe. I mean, that's good music we could have. And yet we're listening to just so much junk. But what's really, really funny to me about all of this, and I'm getting some texts on this as well. You all know that according to the left media, according to the woke mob, according to BLM and everything, don't forget, they're reminding me for the past couple of days, the left and the media, that the NFL, yes, they did this halftime show. Yes, they do commercials about social justice. Yes, they put end racism on the end zone. And on some football players' helmets, you can see end racism, or we're all in this together. Just so you know, everyone, the NFL is still very, very, very racist, according to the left and the media. The NFL is very, 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 just a reminder, is very, 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 still very, 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 very racist. Very, very racist. That we're still, it makes me laugh because you know the NFL does stuff like this to try to placate to that woke crowd. And people like me tell them, it's never going to be good enough. It's never going to be good enough. They're never going to be satisfied until they get 100% of everything they want, which is basically some kind of Marxist society, which is what a lot of them want. They're never going to be satisfied. So, yeah, the NFL can make a lot of money off of this. But just so you know, NFL, Roger Goodell, NFL owners, whatever, just a reminder, you're very, 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 very racist, according to the left and the media. Let me give you an example of this. Dalton, can you play the Mara Shivo Campo cut? This is an activist who was commenting on the Super Bowl halftime show on CNN. And she was asked about all of this. And here's what she said about it in terms of social justice. Can you play it for me, Dalton?
But while it's important to recognize and acknowledge that it was a good night for hip hop, it's also important to recognize that it was a bad day for the movement, because the NFL was able to successfully use black performers to distract black audiences from the issues that are important to them without making any meaningful change whatsoever. It's a little bit like putting a Band-Aid on a tumor. All the problems that the NFL has been accused of are still there. They are still active. They know that they have a PR problem.
I really can't help but laugh. I can't. Because, one, how insulting is it to black people to suggest, well, because you performed in a halftime show for the NFL, you're really just getting in the way of social justice? That's basically what she said. That Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg, them being on that stage, actually helped the NFL distract blacks from real social justice. That's kind of insulting to other blacks in a way, isn't it? But what's really hilarious to me about a comment like that, and trust me, she's not the only one. I've seen this a lot of different places, is it just reveals it will never be good enough. And it shows the stupidity of identity politics to begin with. Here's a thought. How about we treat each other as individuals? How about we book a halftime show because the artists are popular and people like their music and we want to see a good performance? How about we do that? How about we hire coaches based on their qualifications? How about we focus on the individual? And really, I mean, I don't know if the NFL thought this would help get away and placate the woke mob. If they did, they were naive. But maybe, and I don't know if it's true, but maybe they just thought, oh, this would be a popular show. And we'll put on because it's a good popular show and people will like it. And guess what? People did like it. But it's never going to be good enough. It's so funny. I think I heard Joy Reid talking about how, you know, it was fine, except they didn't mention Kaepernick. Until they reinstate Kaepernick, not only as quarterback, but I guess God King of the NFL, they're not going to be satisfied. It's a halftime show where they perform songs. But no, they have to talk about Kaepernick and why isn't he in the league? You know, the NFL will forever be considered racist by those on the woke left until Kaepernick is reinstated. But what's also really funny about this is they must look at everything through this lens. Everything. How sad is it that you watch a halftime show with performers you probably like, and your first thought is to look at it through some kind of woke political lens to show that, well, what this really is the NFL trying to hide their true racism. Who lives like this? But unfortunately, there are people out there that they live like this, that around every corner is another racist that they must expose. When average people don't live like this, how about just enjoy a good show? Really? Just saying. So that was one of the other interesting things about this. And what's really funny about this as well is one person who was called out for something like this recently was Brian Flores himself. So Brian Flores is the coach, former coach of the Miami Dolphins, who is suing the NFL, saying he has not gotten a coaching job over racism and practices, racist practice from owners and all of that stuff. And yet we had another sports commentator who came out recently and realized that Brian Flores hired a law firm to represent him in this lawsuit. And in that law firm, the whole entire law firm is white. They had not one black person in this law firm that was representing him to sue the NFL. And they're like, how can you sue the NFL for being racist because they don't have enough diversity in their coaching in the league when you're using a law firm that has absolutely no diversity in your law firm? And my response to that is when you live by identity politics, you die by identity politics. When we all live by this identity politics, it's never going to be good enough. You'll once again be exposed because you're not focusing. We should focus on the individual. And if you live by identity politics in that way, you die by identity politics. In the NFL, it's kind of the same way. They live by this identity politics culture, one day it will destroy them. Now, the other thing that's really funny about this is because everyone has to look at things through this lens, people notice that Eminem, the rapper, kneeled during a part in the halftime show. And everyone on social media, a lot of the leftists assume that he did that to support Colin Kaepernick. It's solidarity for Colin Kaepernick. Now, what's funny is nobody at the time noticed. Most people watching it just thought he kneeled because it was a part of the show, because kneeling doesn't work for that movement unless you're doing it during the national anthem or the Star Spangled Banner or the Pledge of Allegiance. It's not like every time someone kneels, that means they're in solidarity for Colin Kaepernick. If I walk down the street and someone's kneeling to tie their shoe, I don't go, ooh, that's wonderful there. That's someone who supports Colin Kaepernick and the movement and BLM. No. But they assume that. And what's funny is, you know, the main reason why Eminem was probably kneeling there is because during that part of the song, they were playing a Tupac song. The rapper who was killed many years ago. And he was probably just honoring Tupac, probably had nothing to do with Kaepernick in that movement, but it doesn't matter because certain people are going to look at everything through that lens because that's how they have to. So just a quick reminder to everyone out there. If you thought the NFL had progressed, according to the left, that's the lesson I learned from the left in the media this week. No, the NFL is still very, 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 very racist. And yes, all those black players who play for the NFL are also a part of the racist system. And of course, those rappers are part of the racist system too, I guess. Well, we'll talk more about this. Take your calls and texts when we get back here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Midday Mobile. This is Yaffe filling in for Sean Sullivan. I didn't necessarily expect to go down such a rant when it came to the Super Bowl halftime show or what's going on with the NFL. I just can't help but laugh every time these woke companies, corporations try so hard to placate the left, and it's never good enough. And I have to ask them, well, what did you expect? Did you honestly think it was going to be? Why do you even bother? But they do. Now, I got a bunch of texts coming in. You can text to 251-343-0106. One person said, I'm 44. And I'll admit, this is Houndstooth from Mobile saying this. I'm 44 and I'll admit my first rap album I ever bought was Snoop Dogg's first album when I was 15. But it goes into the fabric of society a little bit. I mean, Snoop's outfit was a Crip gang bandana. It's correct. And was a former crack dealer and accused murderer. Same with Kendrick Lamar, crack dealer. And their anti-police stance, I don't know if we want to accept that as the norm in society. It really is kind of depressing, isn't it, that they are accepted as the norm, that our culture has gone that far where people like them, accused murderers and drug dealers and everything, are now praised as sort of mainstream pop culture icons to the point they're playing the Super Bowl or a lot of kids are watching. The fact of the matter is they are. I mean, we have lost a lot of the culture war. We're gaining some traction in some areas, which is good because the left has just gone way too far and people have had enough and they're standing up against this. We see that with what's going on in schools, especially. But overall, I have said for a while, I think we lost. But you know, as a Christian, we were warned about that in the Bible. We're called to be holy. Now, the word holy really means to be set apart, to rise above. And Jesus warned us that a lot of times we're going to be persecuted for our faith, persecuted for acting in a different way. It's just, I mean, luckily we live in America and the persecution's not like what it is in China today or in the Roman Empire back then. But it's still going to happen. The world is not going to understand it. So right now we're in a time where as Christians, you're going to have to be separate. Now, for me, it's been like that in a lot of ways. But it's just there are more examples of it now in our life where we're not going to reflect the culture. But it's not the job of the church. It's not really the job of the Christians to reflect the culture. The job is to be a light in the darkness. So that's the reality we live in. And once we accept that, there is kind of freedom in that and comfort in that. And I'm not saying we shouldn't give up the fight, but yeah, when it comes to pop culture, it's not going to reflect what it should. And it's not doing it right now. It's just not. Dalton, I wanted to ask you something if you're there.
I'm here.
If you had your choice to pick anybody to do the halftime show, who would you pick?
Anyone to do the halftime show.
Anyone you want.
Yeah. Now, am I the NFL? Am I looking for the most eyes, or am I just looking to entertain Dalton Orwig?
You're looking to entertain Dalton.
All right. Man. All right. I mean, I like a lot of good music. I would probably go some form of country. I know you mentioned it earlier. I've been more of a fan of 90s country, maybe because that's what I spent so much of my life listening to.
You're talking like Garth Brooks kind of stuff?
Well, you know, I just don't know if Garth, he would get the crowd going, but that seems like too logical of a choice there. You know, some of these new guys, I'm kind of late to the pop country stuff here, but I think if you put, you know, Jason Aldean out there, maybe Luke Bryan, some of these bigger names, Blake Shelton, I think you could get a lot of eyes, and I do like some of their music, more Blake Shelton older stuff than any of the rest of them, but I think I'd go that, some kind of country star supergroup thing.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Why don't they get the guy who did Old Town Road? Is that the right Old Town Road?
Lil Nas X or Billy Ray Cyrus? Which one?
Well, get that team. I mean, if you're not going to go completely country, you can kind of go in between.
You could.
Like, that was a really popular song. I'm kind of surprised they haven't done that.
I guess Lil Nas X, who made that song famous, he kind of checks multiple boxes, right? I mean, he has the one country song, but then he's also gay. He's also African-American. So, yeah, if the NFL is looking for a multicultural kind of twist there. But, you know, also what I've noticed, there are a lot more since, you know, Charlie Pride, Darius Rucker, there are now, it seems, more popular black country music artists than there have been in a long time. At least yeah, there are a number of them popular at the same time.
It's never made sense to me they don't have country music artists for the halftime show. And I'm not a country music fan. Like, I'm not. I'm a rock guy. But, like, it just seems like it would be something, like you said, that would get a lot of eyes, especially if you have, like, some of the black country artists. But, I mean, Old Town Road was wildly successful.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, he's done some things since, Lil Nas X, that have made some people upset. But, really, I hate that that's what it's come to. The conversation is, the first thing is not what song did they sing, but what color?
I know. That is a great point. That's a great point. I hate that too. I mean, a lot of bands I don't even know what the color of their skin is. I just like the music. It's just honest. So coming up next, we're going to have Hans von Spakovsky, election integrity expert from the Heritage Foundation, joining me.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
We're back here on Midday Mobile. This is Yaffe filling in for Sean Sullivan. You can usually hear me on WVNN in Huntsville as I host the Yaffe program 9 to 11 a.m. Joining me right now, who I've talked to many times, he's an election integrity expert, election security expert with the Heritage Foundation, also somewhat of a legal expert, Hans von Spakovsky is joining me once again. Hans, thank you so much for coming on today.
Sure, thanks for having me. And by the way, an Alabama native.
Yeah, from Huntsville. That's exactly right. That's right. So speaking of Alabama, that's the main reason I wanted to bring you on, because we had this Supreme Court decision recently that stayed a lower court decision that ordered Alabama to redraw its districts. Now, they didn't decide on the Voting Rights Act or the merits of that lawsuit. They just said it was too close to the election. And you had some comments on this. You think this decision and what's going on here is kind of weird to begin with, right?
Yeah, I think it is. In essence, you had a federal court in Alabama say that when the legislature redrew the congressional districts, they somehow violated the Voting Rights Act and discriminated against black Alabamians. And it's weird for this reason. Look, Alabama has seven congressional seats. It's had seven congressional seats, I think, for 50 years. One of those seven is what's called a majority-minority district. It's a district in which black voters are a majority, so they can, you know, elect their candidate of choice. And so when the legislature redrew the congressional lines based on the 2020 census, they drew against seven districts, one of them a majority-minority district, and they only made very minor changes in the boundaries. Yet all of a sudden, the court says, oh, no, you should have drawn two what they call black districts, two majority-minority districts. Well, look, the population in Alabama of black citizens hasn't changed. It's still about the same proportion as in after the 2010 census. So why all of a sudden do they have to draw two districts rather than one? There really wasn't a lot of justification in the decision for it. And, in fact, I think they're actually violating the judges. The Voting Rights Act, because it specifically says that the law does not guarantee proportional representation, and that seems to be what they're saying Alabama has to do.
Well, doesn't it kind of flip the law on its head? I mean, the original idea of the law was to make sure districts were not based on race because they didn't want to exclude African Americans. Well, this is doing the opposite. This is like you need to make sure your districts are based on race.
Yeah, in fact, you're exactly right about that. And that is one of the problems with the way the Voting Rights Act is being interpreted by the courts today. I mean, look, it was needed in 1965. You know, back then there was real discrimination going on. You know, black voters were being kept from registering and voting. That's not a problem anymore. So today, liberals, frankly, are using it for political purposes, and that's exactly what this lawsuit is about.
So do you think, what do you think the Supreme Court is going to do in the long run here?
Well, I would hope that if the lower court doesn't change its mind in this case, that once it gets to the Supreme Court, they will throw out the lower court decisions. There's really no evidence that I could see that the legislature somehow discriminated or had discriminatory purpose when they simply kept the same districts that they've had for a very long time and simply redrew the lines. By the way, that the way they redrew the lines was actually good because they tried to make sure that fewer counties were split up into congressional districts. So actually, I think they did a better job with their drawing of the new congressional lines of the state.
Well, and it was funny, too, and I know others have brought this up on the station, but it could have resulted in more Republicans getting elected, right? I mean, if you split up the district into two, they're not as majority Democrat, possibly, and Republicans maybe have all seats, and isn't that kind of counterproductive to what they wanted?
Yeah, I think it is counterproductive, and just another reason why I think it was a bad decision. I think the judges were mistaken in what they did, and hopefully in the long run, it will get overturned.
All right, Hans von Spakovsky, any last words for the audience before I let you go? I know you got to run.
No, other than that, listen, Alabama, when it comes to election administration, it's one of the good states around the country. It's got good laws, you know, that they've put in to try to keep fraud down and deter it. So folks ought to be confident when they go vote.
Yeah, exactly right. Hans, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Sure thing, anytime.
All right, have a good one. I mean, he's exactly right. I spoke with Secretary of State John Merrill earlier on in the program, and he talked about why you can trust elections here in Alabama. It's a good thing. And there are some in this state, as you know, that have been working very, very hard to change that. They tried during COVID, and we saw other parts around the country where they were more successful. Luckily, not as successful here. I mean, try to have drive-through voting. That always gets me. Like, voting should be like going and ordering from McDonald's. Like, it should be like the same thing. No, no, I know. I think it should be a little bit more secure than that. I'm just saying. So something else I do want to talk about. I want to take your calls on real quick. Let me just read this headline from Y'all Politics, which I didn't know was a site until recently, but it says this state is on the road to becoming the 10th no income tax state. Oh, you maybe your ears are perking up. Ooh, ooh. No income tax state. Oh, that sounds good. Oh, well, listen up here. It says today there are 8 states that do not impose personal income taxes of any kind. Texas, Florida, Tennessee, Nevada, Wyoming, South Dakota, Washington, and Alaska. Now, New Hampshire will be the 9th no income tax state thanks to a recently enacted bill to phase out their tax on interest and dividend income. But there's one other state who's about to be added to this list soon. They're on the road to become this. Oh, did you think I was about to say Alabama? Oh, no. It should be Alabama, yes. But once again, no, it seems like Alabama is not going to be the leader on this. We're going to be a follower on this. I want us to be a follower. I don't even know if we'll be a follower on this. But no, Mississippi. That's right. Governor Tate Reeves and the Mississippi legislature have placed Mississippi at the forefront of the nationwide movement to eliminate state income taxes. Mississippi. I really wanted to say Alabama. I really wanted to say Alabama there, but no. Mississippi. And I got to tell you, and some of this is just personal here, and I'll tell you why in a moment. I think it should be the goal of every conservative in the state of Alabama to abolish the state income tax. Now, when I say personal, I grew up in Florida. We never had it, at least not that I remember. And it was great. But I come here, and it made things complicated for my wife, honestly, because she became... Well, she's working remotely still for a company in Florida. And because of the whole state income tax system, they had to change her to an independent contractor instead of being on the payroll and all this stuff. That was had to do with other things. But so we had to figure out how to pay state taxes with her not getting any withheld in her paycheck. Plus, now she's considered self-employed and all of this stuff. So not only do you have to worry about the self-employment tax with the federal government, but we have to worry about state income taxes with Alabama, and we have to figure all this out and hire an accountant and everything else. And it's very complicated, and I don't want it to be complicated. Why is it complicated? Why is it necessary? Now, I'll get the trolls on Twitter telling me, oh, well, you got to replace it with something else. Not necessarily. I don't know why we always have to assume that the government has to be as big as it is. But there are ways you could do this, because I think the goal should be, especially, I mean, we're already becoming a very business-friendly state, which is a good thing. To be more business-friendly, we should abolish it. And trust me, it's great. But we're not showing any true leadership on this. Now, the question I have for you, and you can call in at 251-343-0106 or text in as well. Do you agree with me? I mean, I'm sure this has been talked about many times before. But I'm just going to throw it out there again, because we're seeing other states around us do this. And once again, Alabama's not doing this. So we see this with school choice. States around us implementing more school choice options. But of course, here in Alabama, no, we're not going to be a leader. We might get to that eventually, be a follower. We see it with other things, but it's also true with the state income tax. Is this one thing where we're going to be a follower? One, I just want to ask you, do you think we should abolish the state income tax? Do you think it ever will be abolished? Why or why not? And do we need more leadership on this? That I would love for it to be that way. We can take your calls on that. 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. Mississippi. Mississippi. I don't want to be behind Mississippi. We need to be a leader in Alabama. We should be a leader, but sometimes we get complacent in the state because Republicans have a strong majority. So they don't have to worry about being bold because they'll get elected because Democrats are really not going to be able to do much against them. I don't like that complacent attitude. I would much rather be a strong, bold leader in the country, the state of Alabama. Do you think we should? Do you think it's time to get rid of it? 251-343-0106. We're going to take your calls and texts next. And when we get back from the break, I do also want to read this article from the Wall Street Journal talking about how states are getting serious about tax cuts. I want Alabama to be one of those states. Just saying. We'll be back in a moment. This is Yaffe filling in for Sean on Midday Mobile.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
We are back on Midday Mobile. This is Yaffe filling in for Sean Sullivan here on Talk 106, Real Talk 1065. FM Talk 1065. Sorry. You can call in if you want to 251-343-0106, 251-343-0106. So I was saying, do we need to get rid of the state income tax? Getting a lot of people on the text line commenting on this, saying that what they're worried about is that if we get rid of the state income tax, property taxes will go up. Now, I will say that there are examples of this. Texas, from what I understand, has pretty high property taxes. Some are saying Florida has considerably higher property taxes. I don't remember them being, they are higher than Alabama, yes. Don't remember them being considerably higher, like compared to Texas. And Tennessee, yes, does have higher ones compared to Alabama. So that, I mean, that's a good, that's usually the first thing I hear. A lot of people are also saying, why don't we start with the grocery tax? At least get rid of that first. That's a good point. That's a good point. I mean, if we're going to start somewhere, let's start with that. Now, the reason what got me talking about this is Grover Norquist had a good opinion piece at the Wall Street Journal. He's a big tax cutter, as you know. But he talked about why a lot of states are going towards this method. And one thing that bothers me is, I mean, throughout all of this piece, he talks about how he lists all these kind of states that are either have no income tax or going towards that direction or cutting taxes other ways. North Carolina, West Virginia, example. Arizona had a stated goal of driving the income tax to zero. All of this stuff. And Alabama, of course, is not mentioned anywhere in this piece. And that makes me mad because I think Alabama should be a conservative leader on issues like this. And of course, once again, we're not. But he made a good point. He said Americans have noticed that the high tax states don't provide better roads, education, or other services. For instance, Florida, with 22 million residents, has no income tax, and the state spends half as much as New York, which has less residents than Florida. There's this idea that, well, we have to replace that revenue. Not necessarily. Maybe we don't need to spend as much. But, okay, let's say you're worried about this getting passed. Well, some state leaders, he says, have discovered that they can reduce marginal income tax rates by relying on triggers that permanently reduce the state income tax when revenue rises above a predetermined spending limit. That's interesting. So notice how, like, if they get more spending, if they get more revenue than they thought, the taxes don't go down, do they? most of the time. Well, that's very convenient. Oh, we still need those higher taxes. So maybe we should put something in place at least that if we get more revenue than thought, then we could permanently reduce the state income tax based on the revenue rises. That's an interesting way to implement it. And of course, the states that are already have zero income tax do much better economically than those who have high state income tax. He talked about, I mean, over and over again, like, look at Iowa. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds has a plan to reduce the personal income tax to a flat 4% over 4 years. Senate Majority Leader Jack Whitfer and Senate Ways and Means Chairman Dan Donson have a plan that moves to a flat rate of 3.6% over 6 years, followed by a full phase-out. Oklahoma is moving in this direction. Arkansas is moving in this direction. And, of course, Alabama is not. Is not. By the way, New York has a top state income tax of 8.82%, and they're going to rise it to 10.9%. And people are leaving those states. Now, a lot of this is going to be, well, we need all this government money. Maybe we don't. But there you go. Yeah, one person texted in and said, that's a good word. You do not cut a tax and just paste it elsewhere. You cut it and throw it away. We've already been taxed too much. That's what I think. That's what I think we should do. We should implement a plan where we cut tax, the income tax rate in this state based on marginal tax rates, based on if we get increased revenue, more than expected. There should be something in place. But I have a feeling nothing like this is going to get passed, so we should at least get rid of the grocery tax. And even the Democrats support that. And if you don't have enough money, if it means you get less money, well, then Alabama means the government gets less money. Maybe figure out a better way to spend it. But people don't want to get rid of those government monopolies. So I think it would be a good thing to abolish the state income tax. I'm going to campaign for it as long as I'm in Alabama. I think every conservative should try to get that done. We should be a conservative leader on this front and prove we don't need it and prove that government doesn't need to spend as much as some people think it does. Of course, the Democrats want to do the opposite. They want to spend more even in Alabama as they want to increase the Medicaid expansion. They want to add the Medicaid expansion. They're going to promote for that. Oh, they say it won't cost anything. Of course, it's going to cost something in the long run. By the way, I just want to point out earlier in the show, Secretary of State John Merrill talked to me about this whole issue on Twitter, where someone said there was voter suppression in Alabama, and already the trolls on Twitter didn't listen to the interview, are using that fake news from that one person as an example of why John Merrill is suppressing the vote. They're already doing it, even though he specifically addressed that not only on his Twitter earlier, but also on the interview. They're not listening. They don't care. They're just going to attack him because they have to continue to push this narrative. But it's pretty hilarious how stupid they are because, like I said, they're not listening. And this is going on because John Merrill had tweeted this out, which is kind of funny. It's been totally debunked what they're saying about it. But they're still going, and people are still liking and all this. It's entirely predictable. So that's where we are. Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Yaffe. What I'm talking about is someone tweeted out that they were being suppressed, voter suppression, because they got a thing that said on one side to fill it out, to get rid of your voter registration in Alabama because it had registered that this person was registered in two states. Now, of course, she put out a picture, said this is voter suppression, where you could show the other side of that paper and show, no, that's not what it is. You didn't give the full story, and it has to do with you being registered in multiple states. It's not trying to get you to unregister if you are registered, but that you need to contact DC and make sure you're not registered there. But of course, she didn't want to do that. And she wanted to put out a narrative. It's been completely debunked by John Merrill. And yet idiots on Twitter, I'm already seeing, are liking this tweet that's using this as an example when it's not true. Dale Jackson, I predicted that maybe the mainstream media would pick up this story. I don't think they will now because it's been completely debunked to the point where Jane Addams, the person pushing this, also had to admit it. that she was wrong on this. So follow me on Twitter at the @TheAffyAffeE. You can catch the podcast of this show or the Yaffe program anywhere podcasts are available. This has been Yaffe from Huntsville on WVNN filling in for Sean Sullivan. Appreciate you listening. I'll fill in again in the future, I'm sure. Have a good one. See you.